This meeting is now being recorded.
Hi there, this is Reassuring Words, so hoping that people are testing their audio and mics in the AC.
Can't say that I feel reassured.
Oh, trust me, neither do I, but I was asked for someone put some reassuring words to air, and who am I to deny that request, Adri?
Hi everyone, we'll be starting in just 1 minute. Just give us one more minute and the call will begin.
Ah, a voice of authority, reassurance.
Okay, Avery, now I really cut to the quick, my dear. Jonathan can reassure you and I can't.
It's on.
Hi everyone, welcome to the second call for the intensive work weekend today. It's 1900 UTC. We're starting a little bit late because we had some technical difficulties with the phone bridge. We now have provided you with a new phone bridge and I'm happy to assist with any difficulties. If you just send me an email or write to me in the chat, I'll help you connect. We're going to start the recording and I'll turn it over to the co-chairs.
Yeah. Okay. So everyone, just one of the practical concerns, Jonathan Robinson. One of the practical outcomes of that little hitch we've had is that you won't get a transcript as immediately as you might otherwise have done. Probably have to wait 24 hours. The recording should come soon. Transcript may not be available as quickly. Have we got the recording going at this stage? Can I confirm the recording's running?
Recording's running.
Good. Okay, thanks, Grace. So welcome again to our second call on this intensive work weekend. Here what we want to do is go beyond what we talked about in the previous call with the survey results and start to consider some detail coming out of the areas of convergence. That's those areas which were dealt with by Robert on the survey that were highlighted in green, and ideally also to cover some of the items in yellow if possible. We may use the timer to constrain the talking time to try and keep us on track. We could extend the time available. We have the opportunity to go up to 3 hours. I think we might make a call on that later. We'll work at 2 hours. We'll work to a 2-hour call and see how we get on and try and make as much progress. Our objective in this call is really to provide a concrete basis for further drafting on core concepts where we appear to have convergence or agreement, and then that further drafting will come back to the group as a whole. So let's have a look at those key areas. Let me just pause and see if Lisa or anyone else would like to make any comments at this stage before we move into the mechanics. All right. Lisa's happy for us to carry on, so I'll work with her to do that. So really you should see in the Adobe room now, what we've got is, if we pick up first on the green areas relating to the Customer Service Committee or the CSC, we broke that down further into trying to think carefully about the purpose of the particular component and thinking about the core functions and the issues to be addressed, and then to work with those areas of agreement that needed the further detail, being aware, mindful of the points from the public comment, including things like complexity or simplicity. There was also a comment in the previous call to be mindful of areas of some of those groups where a significant portion of the agreement arose from the is acceptable comment, and so we'll be trying to be mindful of that. Another point that we've been asked to be mindful of in the past is to focus on effectiveness of the core functions, but to reduce complexity where possible. So we'll look for constructive suggestions there, and then to think about the fact that this has ultimately got to be sort of handled within the RFP3, which is implementation, and RFP4, which is the consequences or implications of any particular area. So those are the areas to be mindful of. Let's pick up on then, first of all, on the CSC and the areas, the sort of green areas. So under the remit or function, which you'll see at the top of the notes section in your Adobe, the first point was that there should be a CSC to carry out the tasks as defined in the CWG draft proposal, question 1A of the survey, and that clearly had good agreement. So let me come to that and see if there are any comments on the detail arising from that, any So there should be a customer standing committee to carry out the task as defined, and I guess what we're doing here is, thanks Cheryl, I'm sorry, I didn't give you the opportunity to make that housekeeping. Please note Cheryl's housekeeping point on the postponement of the RFP5 call. So there should be a CSC to carry out the task, and I guess what we're doing here is making sure that where there is an opportunity here to for the phone that's not on mute.
Oh, land rent. Endel.
Okay.
Eric.
So here we had in 1A, strong agreement. Agreement is acceptable. I note that we had a couple of disagree and strongly disagree. I should just say that this is an opportunity in sort of closing off these items to the extent that we can, or ensuring that the group is in agreement here, that if someone did strongly disagree or disagree, it's an opportunity for them to make that point known so the rest of the group understands why that they were in strong disagreement. So just because we are proceeding on areas where there is strong convergence doesn't mean that if there is a strong reason why you disagreed, there's no reason why you shouldn't raise your hand on that one. So thanks, Avery. I note that, and we're going to have to come back to the corresponding comments associated with these points in doing the drafting. So yeah, that's a good point. Could we look at the comments? I'm slightly concerned that if we do the comments in detail, we'll slow ourselves right down. But by all means, it is a good point, and raise the comment if appropriate. So are there any other detailed points that we should note in relation to the fact that there should be a CSC to carry out these tasks? Chuck.
Jonathan, I'm not going to respond to that, but I'm going to add something to what you just said a little bit ago, and more respectively in response to Avery. Avery's point in the chat. Avery, we recognize our prepping between the two calls that we needed to integrate the comments where they fit into this work. We just didn't have time to do that so that we don't waste a lot of time on the call. So we did recognize that need, and the plan is to do that so that we can correlate the comments to the discussions that we're having. Unfortunately, we just didn't have enough time to do that before this call.
Robert?
Yeah, so I'm just maybe taking to Aubrey's point. I'm looking at the comments as we're going through this particular question without necessarily attributing. One of the comments is that if we proceed down the route of CSC, what's needed? And it's needed to define its scope, its functions, its membership. That's one of the comments related to this question. It's something to think about, I think, going forward. One of the other comments related to this, and as we go forward in this section, is that the CSC membership should be diverse with representatives from regions, so on, so the multi-stakeholder nature. And its scope. Those are some of the key comments related to this question that have been put down in the comments section in regards to the CSC, and hopefully we'll be working on those going forward.
So I think our intention is to make live notes on these contributions get made, and in essence, Robert, thank you. That's where this piece of work goes to, because we're going to look at the remit or function, look for the detail on it, look for any additional complementary detail on composition, and so on. So, Alan. Alan Greenberg, your hand is up.
Thank you. I have a question or maybe a suggestion in the area of the composition and simplicity. Is there any reason this group can't be an ad hoc group? Whoever wants to be there is.
CSC.
If multi-stakeholders don't choose to show up, then they're not there. That's their choice. Registries presumably will participate because there will be registries who will be reviewing the reports on a regular basis anyway. Why do we need to make it complex?
Okay. Robert, your answer?
So again, this is one of the other questions that I think one of the results as well, too, is we haven't gotten to it yet, is that there was a question that also there was a high level of agreement in terms of who should be on the CSE. And it was basically some technical experts together with, I guess, clients or the way it's defined now. I don't remember the exact question. And so we haven't gotten to that point yet, but I would say that's a good point, Alan, but that's one of the other findings that kind of came up as well. And so, you know, let's maybe park that for a moment and revisit while we're there. But it definitely, pass it back to you, Jonathan and Laura.
Sorry, I thought Jonathan was asking for comments on composition as well. My apologies.
Okay, so I see that the previous hand's gone down. So the next point is the role of this. I'm moving on from point A to point B. The role of the CSC should be focused on service level commitments, performance indicators, and quality assurance, which was question 13 of the survey. And you'll see that there was some very limited strong disagreement and no opinion, but the bulk of was strong agreement or is acceptable. So the question is, are there any detailed points or issues that should be flushed out in this area that members of the group would like to comment on or make sure are covered here in further refinements of the draft and development of the draft text that exists already? No? Yes, I see a hand from Robert.
So I'll just raise a hand. So I think it's just in regards to going forward, if we accept this, is there any reference that we want to make? Are the existing service level agreements defined? Is that something that needs to be defined later? But I think it's just something to think about. But I think it's just that, you know, again, if everyone's fine or do they want to nuance this a little bit, just kind of curious to get a pulse of the room at this time.
Chuck?
Just to try and help you out a little bit, Jonathan, in terms of this, let me add another question for this. Are there any other action items on this statement that the CWG should work on to make some progress in terms of this particular issue? But one of the things I think that would be helpful coming out of this meeting today, if we knew what additional steps might be helpful to firm this up even more.
Thanks, Chuck. Greg?
Greg Shatton here. It's an answer to the question about service level. Seems to me that any group, and I think one that is going to have service levels to deal with is going to want to revisit the current service levels, which are in the, you know, largely I think in the IANA contract that's going away. So I would not think necessarily adopt them blindly. I might find that they're completely appropriate. There at least need to be a review of that, and you know, question of where those service levels would live if there's a service level agreement, even if there's not a contract otherwise. But you know, in terms of function, they're focused on service level commitments, key performance indicators, and quality assurance. They want to be, an initial review as this new group took this over, and not just inherit blindly the current situation.
So actually, that's a good point. It should be really a continuous review and update of current and future service level agreements, right? It's a periodic review and update of...
Yeah.
Service.
I hope it wouldn't be continuous. That would be rather much. Hopefully, it seems to be fairly stable.
Yeah, periodic then is probably a better way of putting it. Donna, your hand is now down.
Donna's hand was up.
You put it down. All right. Donna, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. So I guess my comment is probably similar to what yours is, that there should be continuous review by the CSC in terms of what their focus is on, and I think some of the outcome of whatever the service levels are might determine whether there's other focus areas that they should be looking into. So I think it's, you know, while focus on service level commitments, performance, and quality assurance is a good starting point. I don't think it should be restricted to that, and I think it should be up to the CSC to determine what that should be at any point in time. They should have that autonomy to be able to do that.
Okay, thank you. So that item C, Marika, that's just come in there, continuous review of initial and future service agreements. Was that a question in the survey?
No, this is Marika, so I've added that.
That's a note. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Next comment, which...
That's fine. That's helping. That's why I wasn't sure if I'd missed it. It felt like it was something new that had appeared, but it didn't have a reference to a question in the survey. Yeah, so good. Thank you. That's helpful. Alan Greenberg, your hand's up.
Yes, question. If the CSC establishes or decides on new service levels, they're not empowered to enforce them, since that's likely a contractual term, unless, of course, the IANA, you know, voluntarily says, yes, we'll do that. Am I missing something?
That's a good point, is what authority does the CSC have? It's how do we confer some form of authority on the CSC? Greg, did you want to respond directly to that?
Yes. Whichever structure we end up with, if there's a contract, it's fairly straightforward. If we go with a non-contractual solution, then there needs to be some sort of arrangement within ICANN that binds IANA to agree to the service levels that are proposed by the CSC. And going back to the questions, I think there was slightly stronger support for the CSC initiating service level with review by the MRT than there was for the CSC having kind of free rein to go and set new service levels just kind of amongst themselves. So I guess the kind of the relationship of the CSC and the MRT.
But nevertheless, in either case, there seems to be a requirement here that maybe we should capture. I don't know if we can capture it here, but a requirement to have a binding commitment to service level agreements.
Right, of some sort, through some vehicle.
Yeah, a mechanism for, really what's required is a mechanism for binding the entity to the relevant service level agreements.
If you're going with an internal one, then you may have a situation where there's a bylaw that says that the service levels will be adopted, you know, unless there's a, you know, 75% vote against by the board or something like that, or that the board must adopt them even if 100% of the board votes against it. You know, we're not going to get to that governance question right now, but if you have a contract, then it's just some extent easier, although even there you have to get the contract set out how that would be agreed to between the two parties.
All right. So
the parties, you know, providing the service and the party receiving the service has to come to a mutual understanding. The contract of adhesion haven't been very popular in ICANN, unilateral contracts.
So, Marika, what's required, I think, under point C is periodic review of initial and future service level agreements, and then in brackets, and a mechanic to bind IANA to those, or bind the IANA function to those. Right, so a string of hands have come up. So let's open up to Martin Boyle next. Martin, go ahead.
Martin, if you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
Hi, Martin. It's Grace. You're not muted in the room, so perhaps haven't connected, I can private chat you and we can figure out what the technical difficulty is with your phone line. And maybe we'll come back to you at the end of the queue.
He has a microphone sitting there.
He needs to connect his audio to that one.
Okay, let's go to Alan and then we'll come back to Martin. If you could drop your hand and re-raise it or keep it there, Martin. Keep it there and we'll come back to you. Oh, too late. Alan, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I presumed it was a given that at their service levels there's a commitment to meet them or explain why. But I have some concern on changing service levels mid-contract, if there's a contract or whatever, without mutual agreement. I mean, service levels can have significant impact on budgets and other things like that. So it can't be something that's just unilaterally imposed.
That's a good point. Maybe then, and a bilateral mechanic or something like that. So we need. But this is the kind of detail that we need. Maybe it's an additional point. Does that satisfy, Alan? And a bilateral mechanic to bind?
As I said, I think the service levels don't have any meaning unless there's a commitment to try to honor them. But it was changing them that I had a problem with on a more ad hoc basis.
All right, Robert Guerra, your hands up.
Let me just go here. So I think just in addition to the service level commitments, I think what's equally important too is the publication of the performance indicators as well. There are a lot of comments, and I think in some of the SI comments as well, I think these are these other aspects that it's important for those to continue and to possibly, if there's any improvement, that they'd be there as well too. So the quality assurance and performance indicators aspect are key elements to the CSE as well.
So the notes are publication of QA and performance indicators.
Yes.
Yeah, Martin, can we come to you again and see if you're able to hear you now?
Grace has dialed out to me. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great, thank you. It's Martin Boyle here. It was about the service level agreements, and I was trying to remember back to the current contract, which, if I remember correctly, required the service level agreements to be discussed and agreed between, the IANA functions operator and the customers. Now, my understanding was that was done, and it would seem to me anyway to be fairly good practice for service level agreements and performance indicators to be agreed between the supplier and the customer anyway. So, in fact, I wondered whether we could be looking at the bilateral mechanic as being that you end up with an agreement and you publish that agreement, and that is then what is being monitored against. And that seems to me to be where we are at the moment and the most satisfactory for both sides. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Martin. I think that makes sense. Avery?
Yes, thank you. This is Avery speaking. My question has to do with, yes, the role of the CSE would be focused on the service level, but are all of its methods of doing something about it dependent on some other part of the architecture, some other part of the plan, or do they have some methodology for some avenue for fixing things? And do they have any enforcement capability or compliance capabilities vis-a-vis the contract holder, in this case ICANN's fulfillment of those SLAs? Or is it just something that they report to someone else and they deal with it? Thanks.
So thanks, Avery. That's a good question. And just a point not necessarily related to that question, but just highlighting that the sort of purpose of what we're trying to do here is establish that there is no disagreement or no subtle disagreement with elements from the survey that have come out in with high levels of agreement, and then to look for as specific as possible statements of text or inputs into how other complementary items can be drafted. Greg, you want to respond, or?
Well, I was going to respond directly to what
please do.
Question. I think as originally envisioned, the CSC would have, if an issue, a service level issue arose, they would be the kind of the first level help desk, if you will, or remediator, and try to have a conversation with the IANA function to resolve that issue. If they failed to resolve it and it seemed like it wasn't going anywhere, they would go to the MRT, which would, as an escalation, and then there'd be probably a similar escalation within the IANA function operator, bring it up to a higher level. And then if that did not result in a resolution, then would turn to kind of contractual, there'd be further escalation, and then, you know, within the contract or whatever document was, you know, documented the relationship, would then, you know, ultimately, you know, maybe call, just start calling for a breach, but there would still be, I think, in any case, a number of levels of escalation before, you know, you ultimately, you know, got to some sort of nuclear option, which hopefully you would never get to. But that, I think, is the general view, is that the CSC doesn't have, quote-unquote, enforcement powers, but it has remediation powers, unless, and if its efforts to solve the problem don't bear fruit, then it goes up to the MRT and things get, you know, tougher and tougher. It's just like, you know, dealing with your parents or something.
Yeah, so good point, Greg. Thank you. And Avery makes it clear in the chat that, therefore, that we should make that explicit, that the CSC, while it's going to be a diligent customer, but doesn't necessarily have any escalation powers.
Well, it has escalation powers.
Or enforcement, I'm sorry, enforcement power, yeah, but yeah.
But, and that's kind of implicit in its own situation. It can say, you know, if we can't resolve this here, then we're going to escalate it.
Yeah.
And if they, you know, then it becomes a multi-stakeholder issue, and then it becomes a bigger issue, and then it becomes a contractual issue, and then it becomes an RFP, and then you're done.
Yeah.
So not having that power doesn't necessarily mean they can't, you know, rattle the sword.
All right. Thanks, Greg. And I think that the previous hand was raised has gone down. So, and if you could lower yours as well, that would be great. Good. So, unless I hear other comments in and around remit and function, I'm sure there's potentially plenty. So without wanting us to jump all over the place, if you do feel you've missed something, do come back and raise any other points. And if either the coordinators or anyone wants to ask any questions of clarification of the group, by all means do as well. But let's move on then to composition, which is the next key area. Question 11 dealt with the fact that users of the IANA function should be able to address issues directly with the IANA functions operator rather than being required to go to the MRT. And that's the basis of that was well, you can see in your document under page 11, I won't attempt to summarize the level of agreement, but it was certainly met to be green in our terminology. So I'm going to state these out and as a given, and I really hope that the group would challenge these or seek nuances or make points in and around them, because really what's very useful for us is to be able to do two things. One, establish that the group, the CWG, is in agreement with these concepts, and two, to the extent that they are not, feel able to say so, and three, to the extent that there's detail that requires addition to the drafting that the group feels able to make. Thank you, Matthew. I see that you say 11 and 12 should be taken together. Let's look at 12 then. 12 talks about
MRT or C. The difference.
Okay.
So that's why Belton made it on there, but yes.
Yeah, so let's look at them together, because we said we would consider looking at the yellow, and in this instance it probably makes sense to look at a green and a yellow. So question 12 is a yellow point, but nevertheless, so 11 is addressed issues directly with IANA functions operator rather than being required to go to the MRT, which is a green, and 12 address issues directly with IANA functions operator rather than going to the CSC. They're closely related. Any other comments or points on that? Bernie?
Yes. 12 doesn't mean that the satisfied customers can't talk to the CSC. It just means that the CSC is not blocking customers from talking directly to IANA if they have questions. I think that's important to understand.
Great. Thanks, Greg.
Greg Shatton. I think actually you need to look at 10, 11, and 12 all together. 10 says users of the IANA naming function should be required to go through the CSC or the MRT to address issues relating to the IANA functions operator. I think this was one that was taken directly from a public comment. And then 11 and 12 were crafted by the survey makers to provide kind of alternatives to flesh that out. And as we can see, that was pretty strongly disagreed with. So the idea that the CSC functions as a gatekeeper for all of the registries, they can't go talk to the IANA functions operator themselves, was fairly soundly rejected, although I should say that two people strongly agreed that the CSC should, you know, be the only way that the registry should go be able to talk to IANA, and six others agreed and eight others found it acceptable. So that's kind of interesting. That's 16 responses. But nonetheless, you know, came out 16 and 18 disagree or strongly disagree for 64% or so, depending upon what you're making percentages of. There's only one no opinion, so it's basically the same percentage whether you take it in or out. So basically the question is, okay, rejecting that idea that the CSC is the only people who can talk to IANA, then the question was whether would they be required to go through the CSC or through the MRT, and basically those were both answered. That they should be required to. They can go directly to the IANA without having to go through any intermediary body. So the three of these together basically say that the CSC nor the MRT should be a gatekeeper for registries to go talk to IANA if they've got an issue.
So can we capture that then, that the sort of effective summary of 10, 11, and 12, which is that users should have the opportunity, in essence, that users should have the opportunity to go direct to the IANA functions officer and not have to go through an intermediary.
Correct.
Yes. So thank you, Brendan, in the chat, and Matthew, for helping us to get to that point. I note that before we go back on the queue, that Lars Eric has said, shouldn't there be clarity when the CSC can address directly IANA and when issues? Yeah, so maybe that's a point Eric, maybe that's a point when you can address it directly with IANA an issue. Yeah, no. Yeah, so I'm wondering whether Lars Eric's point highlights that there should be some kind of thresholding for almost when an issue is sufficiently serious that the CSC needs to go direct to the MRT rather than that's something to think about. Anyway, let me go back to the queue. I've got Elise in the queue.
Thank you. This is Elise. We put just more to support the thing that Greg said, but I think it's very important that we build out in a very specific way that the customers can have a direct dialogue with the IANA, even if it's just this model. I think otherwise this model will fail at once. And I don't think they have the possibility to stop them from having this direct dialogue, even if they thought that would be wise. So I think we should put this in clear wording that this is not a sense between the direct dialogue between the customer and IANA.
Elise, we're having problems hearing you. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're having problems hearing you. I'm not sure if you could speak closer to the mic or something. It's hard for us to hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me? Is it
better
now?
That's better now. Yes, much better. Thank you.
Okay. So you didn't get anything of what I said, basically?
Not really. It would be useful to have it all again.
Okay. No, it was just to support what Greg was saying about this, to be specific in our text and our model, and when we explain it to the community, that the direct customers, of course, have the right to bring up things directly with IAMA. I think if we are not cautious about having that very clearly in this model, it will fail, because I don't think we have the possibility to stop a dialogue between direct customers and IAMA. I think it would not be wise. So just to support that, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for reinforcing that. I think that's effectively what we got out of 10, 11, and 12, but that's very useful that you reinforce that. Avery, let's go to you.
Thank you. Avery speaking. One of the issues I have is fuzziness between the micro and macro of this. We're like in the conversation we've just had, we've talked about individual customers, individual issues, and those being directly with IAMA, and I have no question with that. My question, Rice, is the CSE working on aggregate information and SLAs in their statistical macro overall sense, or are they actually involved in the day-to-day issues of registries with IANA? In terms of the NTIA, you know, function replacement, certainly there was no daily, you know, go running to NTIA to have issues, individual issues dealt with. So I feel that there's a fuzzy border here, and I don't quite understand how we deal with the micro, macro, division. Thanks.
Well, Avery, I mean, maybe I can ask you to, would you care to make a suggestion as to how to remove that fuzziness? I mean,
that's just it. All this conversation we've had about, you know, the customers and registries being able to go directly to IANA seems to be almost, it shouldn't be a conversation, because individual issues would not be going through CSE, or would they? And that's really where I'm asking a question. I think if we're dealing with service level agreements, we probably need to say, is dealing with them in the aggregate, or is it dealing with specific case-by-case issues? Thanks.
Well, I think it's a good point, and it's good that you flushed that out, and it is necessary to have that clarification. But it appears that we have that clarification currently, and from the responses to 10, 11, and 12, together with the reinforcement made by Elise, that we will have that clarity in future as well. But it's good that you flush it out and highlight that we need that. And so that is the kind of guidance that we are looking for to contain that level of specificity in the draft. So that's helpful. Alan Greenberg, your hand is up next.
Thank you. I guess I would look for simplicity and don't add bureaucratic barriers when they don't need to be there. So that says an individual customer can talk to IANA and maybe resolve an issue if there is an issue. If not, that issue may be noticed by the CSE or could be brought to the CSE by that customer. And if the CSE can resolve it, fine. And it only gets escalated to the MRT if the CSE is frustrated and can't resolve the issue. I don't think we need guidelines as to what goes at what level. It's let's try to solve problems at the lowest possible level and escalate when you're not being satisfied.
I think
we need a lot of bureaucratic rules to define these things.
No, I didn't hear that we were, and I think we're forming bureaucratic rules, and I think my sense was where we were going was in agreement with what you've just said. What that means de facto is that that an individual customer who has performance issues may, in effect, use the CSC as an escalation path as well. But, yeah, I think I didn't sense that we're in –
that the direction the group is heading is any different to what you've just said, Paula?
Jonathan, for clarity, no, the group was not, but there were comments in the question mark in the chat area about clear rules on when things can be escalated and when they cannot be and things like that.
Okay.
That's what I was referring to.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Elise, you're next.
Thank you. Thank you, Elise, again. I agree that we shouldn't have rules for where we have to bring things, at least not between the users, direct users, and the CSC. We could have some guidelines on how you can use the CSC as a direct customer, and I think the CSC will have experience, maybe also then some knowledge about if this is a problem for other direct customers, if this is a general problem, if this is only your problem as a direct customer, and so on. So it might be, I think it will be a place where the direct customers will want to go with their issues, but maybe have a direct dialogue also. So I think it will solve itself in that respect. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Elise. Robert?
It was an old hand, but I was about to put something in the text chat, so I'll maybe mention here as we're talking about items, we might want to say that follow a principle of subsidiarity, which is common in Europe, which is trying to go at to the smallest, slowest, or least centralized authority first. And that was put in some of the comments as well, too, so maybe that's a good thing to put in here.
Great. Let's capture that then. That's helpful. Thanks, Robert. Donna?
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin. So I agree wholeheartedly that the registry operator should have the discretion to resolve problems with IANA internally. I guess the question is, how is that information captured? So if the CSC is not aware of individual cases of where a registry operator has had issues with the service being provided by IANA, how is that actually captured? So I think there has to be something reflected somewhere that IANA perhaps is keeping some kind of performance logs on how many, complaints is the wrong word, but how many issues have they had to resolve individually with registry operators and what was the source of that. So I think it's important that information is captured in some way because it actually goes to the performance of IANA.
Thanks. That's a really good point as well, Donna. So I suppose I'm just wondering where we capture that, which section we capture that in. It looks to me like that's under. Okay, Bernie wants to respond directly to that, so go ahead, Bernie.
There's already a report that's produced on that specifically by IANA for the NTIA, which covers all those points. It's not a public report. It's a private report that describes the incidents in the various points. So, and it's actually described in the NTIA contract. And when you go through it and try to map out to all the public reports, all of a sudden you find this one, and it's not there, and you talk to them. I've seen an example of it, and it is quite detailed relative to what we're talking about. The point is, do we really want that as a public thing? So the information is being captured. The information is being forwarded to the oversight body. It's not a question of that. It's a question of, do you really want to make that public? Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie. Well, I mean, I think I noticed that Brendan has highlighted in the chat that this is, a ticketing system, some form of documentation that could be covered in under as an SLA detail. I don't have a view on whether it's public or not. I think the most important thing is to have the function, and I think that the fact of whether which elements of that reporting is public or not can be brought out as a detail. Donna, is that a new hand, Donna? If so, please go ahead. Chuck, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I mean, another thing, a variation of that we could consider is reporting the data without and redacting names, registries, and so forth. I'm not necessarily advocating that, but that would be a variation of that where you could, where, for example, the CSC could see the information without knowing the particular parties involved.
And also possibly an aggregate on a quarterly basis as well, or something like that. So
all sorts of options.
Yeah. Bernie? Oh, sorry, Donna. I see your hands. I'm sorry. Donna, please go ahead first and then Bernie.
Thanks, Jonathan. So I support Chuck's idea. I think what the important information is, fair enough to redact the registry operator, but I think it's the what was the issue that's important. So if you see a recurring problem within IANA's performance as it relates to XYZ, and it is a consistent problem that's being identified by a number of registries individually, that's the information that needs to be captured. So it's the source of what the actual complaint is.
Okay. Thanks. Bernie?
Close enough to what Donna was saying. Thank you.
All right. So,
actually, one more small point.
Bernie, you have another point to make?
Yeah, one more small point is that part of this is tied into the review of the NTIA contract for the really down and nitty-gritty details of where various reports go, who they get looked at, and where they are. And this is one good example of things that have can't carry over perfectly one for one. That's all I wanted to say. And therefore, it's important to understand that we're going to have to go through this with a fine-tooth comb and pick out those items so that there's an adjusted version that can work. Thank you.
Good. So where have we got to here? We've looked at we've moved a little into lines of reporting and created an item under lines of reporting, but we also have the CSC should have a continuous existence, which was question 8 of the survey. This goes on to, this is under broadly under composition. And you'll see that had pretty strong support. So I'll just really see if there's any comment or issue on that. It feels to me like that, like we're there already as a group. Item I says the C. It means it should say the CSC, not the CSG. The CSC membership should primarily consist of PCTLD and GTLD registry operators with related experts, and that's question 4. So I guess, was there a yellow around question 4 as well? Because this is a little similar to the previous one. Question 4, yes, there was a yellow in 5 and 6.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I see some hands up. So let's hear from Donna first.
Sorry, Jonathan, old hand.
Yeah, Donna and Robert are old hands.
Nope, new hand.
New. Robert, okay, go ahead.
So this is just maybe to where we are now, but also adding to Bernie's comments, Donna's and Kurt's as well on the chat, in that in going through kind of the reporting, some aspects of the reporting perhaps will require a certain level of confidentiality that the CSC may require, but might be an issue if it goes to the public. And so there's going to be a challenge in regards to confidentiality, and that needs to be worked out as well.
All right. So under lines of reporting, we have L. No, not lines of reporting. Where should this go? Where should we record this? I guess it is lines of reporting. L needs to be detailed on issues of confidentiality needs to be resolved or to be be specified. Needs to be specified. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. 2 points. The original proposal, I believe, did say that there should be a multi-stakeholder component to this, and that was not explicitly asked in the survey, so I'm presuming that it has not altered. So the primarily where we're talking about registries and other experts would not necessarily exclude other multi-stakeholders. I'd like confirmation of that. And the second point is my earlier comment, which was made out of turn, is do we really need to designate composition or can it be more ad hoc?
So, Alan, on point one that you made, question two says the CSC membership should include a substantial multi-stakeholder component.
Okay,
and that
sorry.
That didn't meet the green or yellow threshold. But if you go to question four, the CSC membership should primarily consist of CCTLD and GeoCTLD registry operators with related experts, received stronger, noticeably stronger. That was a green as opposed to three previous to it, which said the CSC should be restricted only to CCTLD and GTLD operators. So you've got multi-stakeholder doesn't meet it. Uniquely CCTLD and GTLD doesn't meet the threshold. With addition, with related experts goes into the green, and then five and six, which is predominantly, only task monitoring owner performance. No, those go into performance issues, so they're slightly different. So of those, it's really two, three, and four are in a cluster, and four seems to stand out there, which is it's multi-stakeholder to the extent that it has representatives of other technical communities or related experts, but not multi-stakeholder in the broadest sense.
Okay, but for the record, I read the primarily as modifying the rest of the sentence, not primarily registries, and the non-primary being the experts. I don't know how many other people read it that way.
Well, this is Greg Chatton. I wrote the question to be read that way. So if somebody's reading it differently to exclude multi-stakeholder, then I would think that's a misreading. Of course, if it's an ambiguous question, that raises an issue, but I'm not sure how many people read it.
Greg, you're saying that there is still a multi-stakeholder component in your mind allowed by this question.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. I didn't hear that in the discussion. And I was trying to verify that, so thank you. I do agree and raise the issue of ad hoc. We're looking for simplicity. Here's an opportunity. Thank you.
So MRT question as well.
So if we could just stick to it. So I've got Chuck next.
Yeah, and this is, I guess, directed at Alan Greenberg and anybody else who wants to respond. But also in the interest of increasing the simplicity, reducing the complexity, if the CSC was totally transparent in what it did and had the limited functions as designed, is it really necessary to have a multi-stakeholder component? And I throw that out for a response.
I've got a
comment.
Yeah, I guess there's a maybe. I'm just wondering if I've got quite a queue here, and I'm not sure how many is responding directly to Chuck. But let me work through the queue because I've got Martin in the chat saying he would support complete openness. I assume then along the lines you describe, which then obviates to some extent the need for multi-stakeholder. But let's hear what people have got to say. Greg.
I would assume that under any model that CSC would operate with as much transparency as possible, regardless. So I don't think having transparency obviates the need for a multi-stakeholder model. I think that in the terms of the survey, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 really all need to be read together. And 5 is not about function, probably should have been
the two clauses should have been flipped around, which is the CSC may consist predominantly of registries if the CSC is only tasked with monitoring IANA performance. And so I think 4 and 5 are both, you know, indicate that a predominantly or primarily registry composition seems to be, you know, reasonably acceptable or to a majority. But I don't think any of those are excluding having the multi-stakeholder component. And when you get to 3, there's, which is what says that it should be restricted to registry operators, you know, the answers are kind of, you know, much more negative. Although there still seems to be, if you add the top three, there's more support for that than there is against it. Just to talk about solutions and not just about, you know, analysis, it may be that a small registry or small multi-stakeholder component might be sufficient, at least in terms of complete transparency and allowing people to participate, allowing some multi-stakeholder participation, and so that it would not be operating kind of out of sight of or out of reach of the multi-stakeholder community. I think, you know, taking the, let's call it the non-contracted parties, the commercial and non-commercial stakeholders, and ALAC, for instance, and just saying you can't come into the CSC, I think is strong, but turning it into a clone of the MRT is also not appropriate, assuming the MRT has a more balanced multi-stakeholder component. So I think the question is, can there be some multi-stakeholder component that kind of opens up the CSC a bit, but that isn't just everyone gets a seat on the bus, which then kind of just, that's not the right answer either. So I think a seat or a couple of seats that kind of represent the remainder of the multi-stakeholder community might be an approach, a compromise that would allow there to be kind of the voice of the rest of the pyramid of users, you know, the ultimate end users of the internet, without kind of taking things away from being predominantly a registry. Related function. Thanks.
Yeah, Greg, that's a fair point. I should just note that the questions very much focus on qualifying that to, I mean, certainly 6 relevant technical expertise, 4 related experts. They do very much put a qualifier in that point. Quite a queue building here. And that's Bernie next.
Yep. Okay.
So. And then Avery next.
Okay, thank you. Avery speaking. In terms of this, first of all, I have to say I read the question as indeed excluding multi-stakeholder participation in the CSC, and hence when I saw experts and that thought of the experts, perhaps the liaisons that had been discussed on lists but never in the questions, were, and I think this is similar perhaps to what Greg said, were filling that function of the multi-stakeholder. But as it was written, the experts very much stayed in the technical realm and didn't have experts on such as, you know, consistency with policy implementation guidelines, et cetera, type of experts. So I think that the whole notion of keeping the CSC small tends towards including experts, but perhaps broadening out the expertise slightly broader than just the technical aspects. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Avery. Alan?
Thank you. Chuck asked if everything is open, is there a need for multi-stakeholders? And my answer is the reverse. Is there any harm in it? We continually preach multi-stakeholderism to the rest of the world. Maybe it's time to live it. And
just for the record, the reason I was suggesting ad hoc is if multi-stakeholders want to participate, fine. Chances are they won't. But why not give people the opportunity?
Chuck wants to respond directly to that. So
this is Chuck. Very simple response. It's more complicated when you do that, and I was trying to suggest something that might be simpler. That was my thinking there.
And,
so,
and I provided a simplicity to go along with it. Thank you.
But it's still more complicated. And with regard to ad hoc, since you brought that up, I was going to jump in on that later, but the problem I have with ad hoc is that it's not reliable. And I think the functions that we have the CSC performing need to be reliable.
Jonathan, you want me to answer that or wait my turn?
Come back briefly, and then we'll
okay, it's a very brief answer. If there are no registries who are interested in participating, it sends a rather strong message. Since I believe registries will want this to be reliable, there will be participation. But if there isn't, there's a message in that also. Thank you.
There's an interesting point from Matthew Shears in the chat, which says, of course, this would be largely moot if the CSC were a subset of the MRT. And that's an interesting point where, in a sense, where one could imagine the CSC being the primarily technical function, and then the periodically meeting MRT would have the CSC together, almost like, I guess I imagine it in a corporate structure where you have an executive and a non-executive board, and the non-executive has more of a review and oversight function, and the executive has more of a management function, yet when the board meets, the executive and the non-executive meet together. So it may be that in the interest of simplicity, Marika, maybe you could capture that as a possible construct. I think it's an interesting suggestion. I don't know how much that's been made before, but certainly Matthew's made it there, and it might give us both our functions, but potentially deal with some of the maybe have a magic bullet type effect. Elise, let's come to you. You've been waiting.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Elise. I've never read the existing suggestion as excluding multi-stakeholder in the CSC. I always read this as kind of a package that we have worked through, and I see it as a practical arrangement. We have the CSC as effective and small and based on direct customers as possible. And I talk from the GAC side. I always talk on the multi-stakeholder side. So what I see is that as long as the MRT, as I've said before, has a strong multi-stakeholder component, I think it's more tidy, more easy to understand, and an easier model to relate to for everyone. If you have a more pure multi-stakeholder in the MRT and a more direct customer-based CSC. What I think we could do is, of course, to have some direct dialogue put in the written procedures between the MRT and CSC. We could have, of course, we could have a LFO arrangement, but we could also have meetings or reporting or whatever to make everything transparent and to make the multi-stakeholder components in the package of overseeing Marana more visible for everyone, that we have this component in there, but it's not in the CSC. I think that is it's a better way to arrange it. But that is my opinion, not the guest opinion as such, but the way I read what we heard from other guest members when they have given a response to the draft proposal, they have said that if the MRT is not a stakeholder, we don't need it so much in the CSC. So I think it is acceptable also for the guest as an existing stakeholder component is good in the MRT. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Elise. So that appears to continue with the theme there. Eduardo.
Thank you, Jonathan. I have to point, I was on the patient also, and I didn't see the functions that the CSC
was going to make sure that IANA was following policy in terms of their day-by-day work, other than SLA and performance. And if that's the case, maybe this group will need a different kind of, you know, other than a registry, would have more people interested in participating on it. And the other point is that the point K on the composition considers CSE as a subset of MIT. If I read question number 7, which says something that the composition of the CSE should come from the MIT, my impression is, and the answer in that, to that question is that most people disagree with that, which goes into this creating a subset of the MIT. Thank you.
So there's a couple of key points there, and just to go deal with that in reverse order, question 7 says, the CSC members should be drawn from the MRT so that there is coordination between the CSC and the MRT. And actually, that didn't really meet the threshold. Just to be clear, I don't believe that's what we've been talking about up until now. We've been talking about the area that's come out in the most recent conversation was the CSC predominantly along the lines as originally drafted, with some subtle discussions that we've been having around it. But nevertheless, that somehow or another, there may be a way of, in the interest of simplicity, integrating the CSC and the MRT. And that is different to what question 7 asked, which is pulling the CSC out of the MRT. Separately, you asked a question about policy and the CSC's role in policy, if I understood you. Now, I don't know what you meant by policy there, so I wonder if, but certainly I wonder if anyone would like to respond specifically to that. Bernie, would you like to? Go ahead, Eduardo, and then let's see if we have a response.
Yeah, maybe I want to be more clear. I believe that we have this conversation before where a group, I don't know if it's the CSE or the MRT, should make sure that IANA is following policy, not making it, following the policy that is in place. And I thought that the CSE was going to be doing that too. And if that is the case, and I might be wrong, then the composition of the CSEs will require more people, you know, other people than registries. Or, you know, CCPLE and GAPLE's registers. Maybe other people will be interested in participating in that group. Thank you.
Chuck, go ahead then if you're going to respond.
I'm going to respond. Eduardo, I guess, first of all, do you mean SLA policy? If you mean more than SLA policy, I'm not aware of any suggestion that the CSC should do any policy monitoring at all. In fact, I personally would strongly oppose that. So if they did, we would absolutely need a multi-stakeholder component there.
This is Eduardo. I was just mostly I think I was referring to things like the frame of interpretation type things, which, you know, provide some kind of framework where IANA is working on, not really the SLAs of performance indicators. It's how they actually perform their work in terms of following policy. And that's the best I can explain it.
Thank you. This is Chuck again, Eduardo. And again, and somebody can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I don't think there's ever been any suggestion that that kind of monitoring go on. And again, I would strongly oppose that.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thanks, Eduardo, for the question, but that clarifies that then. Bernie, is that a hand that you'd like to retain?
Yes. Thank you. In answer to Alan's discussion of an ad hoc committee, I was glad to hear Chuck's response, but I have another angle on it, just from a really practical point of view. I know we don't want to make it bureaucratic and all of this, but people aren't exactly going to walk off the street and know all the processes and procedures and the format of the reports and how they've been trending, and then all of a sudden we're going to pick 7 people that show up at a meeting and they're going to look at this. I don't think that's practical in any way, shape, or form, if you want to ensure that what the CSC is doing as work is quality work. I mean, you need people who are going to, you know, work with other people at understanding these things. There's going to be a learning curve, and there's going to have to be experience passed on and variety of things. So I in no way see this as possibly being ad hoc. Quite the contrary. I think it's going to require that we pick people very carefully and that, you know, there is knowledge that's codified so that as people change over the years on the CSC, that they have the appropriate information at their hands and the appropriate expertise to look at the things in the proper way and understand when to make some of the decisions. Because if we go through the conversation we've had today, we seem to be supporting the notion that if a registry operator is having issues and they can't resolve them directly with IANA, that they should be able to talk to the CSC, and maybe if the conditions are right, the CSC will make the call to talk to IANA about the issue. These are a lot of decision factors. I don't think I want people who just decided to show up at a CSC meeting to all of a sudden have that responsibility. Thank you.
Let's have Donna Allen, and then I'll put myself in the queue. All right, Greg's jumped in ahead of me.
Go ahead if you want.
Robert, Donna, Allen, Greg, and then myself.
Great, thank you. I'm just maybe following up kind of two comments. I think adding to Bernie's, if we're adding kind of detail, one of the things we may want to put down is that selection process and details around that are particularly important and need to be further defined going forward. And there's a variety of different ways that could be done, but further work is needed. But definitely adding the knowledge and skill component is key. I think secondly, so I would agree with that. I think secondly, going to your earlier point, Jonathan, one of the tasks that we're trying to do is take one of the general comments that have been put in, just we're trying to simplify what we have at the table and being able to collapse different things together, talking about and seeing that. So definitely that's an interesting approach. And I think something that I know in some conversations with some SAC colleagues, they've said, well, this looks like it's very similar. Why can't it be together? So definitely you were talking about ways of joining or collapsing or finding structures that encompass CSC and MRT, for example, and that's something that's worthwhile to investigate. And it makes, as the co-chair of RFP4, for then defining things going forward, one less structure that we would have to create, which is particularly important, less time to do. So that's, as we go forward as well, let's think about ways to simplify the task, but also all these entities will have to be created, and the less that we have to create, if possible, the better. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Donna.
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin. I raised a question in the chat about, you know, maybe we could think about this in the context of how many people do we think should be on a CSC. One of the concerns I have about when you say this should be a multi-stakeholder representative of multi-stakeholders, then that number tends to blow out. Perhaps one of the ways that we could get around this, and I'll state that I have a very strong preference for registry operators to be the core of this CSC because they have it directly impacts them, the service levels. But something that Martin has raised on a few occasions is in developing the SLAs, maybe that's the multi-stakeholder part of it, that it is put out for these are the SLAs that we think we should hold IANA accountable to, put that out for public comment, receive input, develop further if necessary, but the actual monitoring of that should be to a core smaller number that has the expertise that Bernie has spoken to, and perhaps that's a possible way forward. Just a suggestion.
Thanks, Donna. Greg, you're next.
Greg Shatton, thanks. In thinking about the composition, and I don't know exactly what size is optimal and if we want to have, you know, representation that's regionally diverse, but, you know, just
as an example, I'll throw out a concept. There could be, say, three GTLDs, three CCTLDs, one registrar, one CSG, and one NCSG, and one ALAC, just as an example.
ATAC would be nice to
be there. I'm thinking of that other than the registrar, the experts that are
technical.
There's also the technical experts, that's SSEC, RSSEC, IETF, perhaps. So those, that's a kind of a separate bucket, but among kind of this issue of where the kind of ratio between the other kind of GNSO types and would be just like to have a single seat for kind of each major group and outweighed by the CC. So, and then I guess if you throw in the SSAC, the RSAC, some people throwing in the RIRs, ISOC, and the IETF. I don't know how far you go with that expert, but it seems to me the RSAC and SSAC would probably have value to be there. You know, one could even go the next step and say have a single seat that represents all four kind of non-technical stakeholder groups, by which I mean ALAC, the GNSO, and other groups. Although, who you say is technical and who you say is non-technical, I'm sure the ISPs would not consider themselves non-technical. But in any case, it's kind of, I think if we have a small bus, like a Mini Cooper-sized group of multi-stakeholders, not a station wagon-sized group of multi-stakeholders, then we might be getting somewhere in terms of compromise. We don't need to have every stakeholder group kind of fully represented, but just have a piece there that kind of keeps it from looking like the fox is guarding the chicken coop.
So I thought I was acting previously as a chair when I responded to Matthew's comment and was bringing that in and making sure. But I'm speaking now, I guess, as a contributor, and I picked this up and I'm sort of running with it a little bit myself. It's Jonathan speaking, in case my voice isn't recognized. But I'm starting to think that one of the public comment drivers we've had is to drive simplicity, and it really feels to me like we should think carefully and really consider this concept of the two being linked, because it seems to deal with a number of factors and potentially deal with this desire to have multi-stakeholder component in. And I'll continue the corporate analogy, where your general registries are customers, if you like, management level customers. Your CSC is an executive management. They're more composite or a higher level of the customers, and then your MRT is your, as I said before, your non-executive board type of situation. And if you could view it in that way, you can find a way which encompasses a need for relevant expertise and yet deals with a multi-stakeholder component. So I think we should give serious thought to that, but maybe we don't need to push that too far at this stage. It does.
Jonathan, could I just ask you, Greg Chatton?
Yeah.
When you say the word linked, what are you?
Okay, so I'm envisaging in the interests of simplicity and the interests of some form of convergence, as viewing the CSC and the MRT holistically. So those of us that say, well, we really want to see multi-stakeholder in the CSC, is saying if we could see them as holistically, in other words, perhaps they meet periodically together, is it, whether it's annually or quarterly, or it doesn't matter, but such that desire for representation is met by the convergence of the groups occasionally, then it may mean that we don't need to replicate that desire, for example, for multi-stakeholder.